about Father's Day today. We got one person. I saw something that was really funny. I think it was on Facebook, and it said, you know, during Mother's Day, you see ads that are talking about $3,000 diamond rings, and then during Father's Day, you see ads that talk about $11 cargo shorts. So sometimes dads don't get a lot of credit, but I say this every Mother's Day: moms, without you, there would be no us. And so I can say the same thing for dads: without you, there would be no us as well. Amen. So if you're a dad today, would you do me a favor? Would you just go ahead and stand up on your feet real quick? If you're a dad, go ahead and stand up. Let's give these guys a hand today. Let's thank God for them. Amen. Dads, you can go ahead and be seated. I want to let you know that before you leave today, we give away flowers on Mother's Day. We give away carnations. And on Father's Day, we give away man flowers. And you may have saw those when you come in, the supersized Slim Jims. We like to call those man flowers. And so make sure that you get to him on your way out today if you're a dad. And if your dad's not here and you want to grab one and take that to him from River of Life Church, we'd love for you to do that. Amen. And I was going to talk about something completely different, and this morning early, God woke me up, and I began to think about something different, and I actually wrote this morning after I got up. So I want to share with you, and normally I don't speak on Father's Day. I'm not necessarily going to give a Father's Day message or a Mother's Day message, but for some reason, the Lord just impressed this on my heart this morning to share with you. And so I want to talk about fathers today, and I'm gonna go to a passage of Scripture. If you've got your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn with me to Luke chapter 15. And it's a very familiar passage of Scripture that we're going to talk about. How many of you here today have heard of the prodigal son? You've heard of the parable of the prodigal son. Almost all of us in here have heard of that story. And I want to tell you, did you know that Jesus didn't call it the parable of the prodigal son? That was spoken, that was a name given to that story by man. And the reason that we call it the parable of the prodigal son is because who do we identify the most with in that parable? The prodigal son, right? And so I want to come at it from a little bit different angle today, but I want to start off and I want to talk about dads today, and the title of this message is going to be The Father of the Prodigal. The Father of the Prodigal. So I want to look at this parable, and I want us to look at this from a little bit different angle. How many of you, when you were growing up, feel like you were a pretty good kid? Anybody here feel like they were a pretty good kid? There's some people. I was not that kid. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that my dad's probably watching this live, and my mom's probably watching this, and I'm going to share, just to kind of set this up, a little story that is from my childhood. When I was a kid, I mean, I probably was about 5 or 6 years old, and one of the things I loved to do was climb. And how many of you know moms don't like kids climbing? How many, you get your mom to get down from there? And my dad had told me, don't get on the barn. I grew up on a farm in Alabama, and my dad would say, do not get up on the roof of the barn. And by the time I was 5, I had figured out how I could crawl up on a fence, get over, and crawl up on the roof of the barn. And I loved to just sit up there and look around, you know. And I don't know why, but I like to be up there. And there was a chinaberry tree really close to the barn. And I remember getting up there one day when nobody was watching. My dad was at work and my mom was inside. And I remember climbing up there, just sitting around. And I just noticed this. I walked up, it was hanging off the tree, and it was almost dead even with the barn. And it would be perfect. And then I could just swing down and drop and be on the ground. And so you know how when you're a kid, you think you can do all kinds of things. And so I remember just standing there for a few minutes. And then I got up the courage and I dove out. And when my hands hit that limb, I had no idea that it was rotten. And so basically what I did is I did a Superman dive off the barn, hit that limb, it broke, and I just went flying and did a big belly flop and landed on the ground from about an 8 or 9 foot barn. Well, the worst part about it is we had a cow, and I landed right on a cow patty. And if you don't know what a cow patty is, it's cow poo. And what happened was is I knocked the breath out of myself, and it hurt so bad I'm laying on a cow patty and can't even get up. And I'm just like, oh, and I'm trying to get my breath back, and I roll over finally, and I get up, and I look at myself, and I start thinking, what in the world am I going to do? I'm covered in cow poop, and I'm like, my mom is going to kill me. So I immediately think up this great story, right? And I go to my mom, and I tell my mom, the cow kicked me in the stomach, and that's how I got poo on myself. And my mom was so angry. She was like, I'm going to kill that thing. I had to stop her from shooting it. She wanted to go shoot the cow. She was so mad. And she goes, wait till your dad gets home. I'm going to tell him what happened. And I'm thinking, no, don't tell him that. He's never going to believe that. And so my dad gets home, and I've got all cleaned up. And my mom goes and tells my dad. And my dad looks at me, and he goes, boy, you better tell me what really happened. And I was like, the cow kicked me, Dad. And he went out there, looked at there, saw the branch broken on the ground, and he understood exactly what happened, and he knew what happened. And how many of you know I got in a little bit of trouble that day? And I was one of those kids, and so you may be asking what the moral of the story is. Thank God for moms that always want to protect us from harm, and thank God for dads that can see through the bull. Amen? So I want to open up with that because I want you to be thinking today as we look at this parable of the good father. I want you to think about the parable as we look at this. I'm going to read it. I'm going to read Luke 15, verse 11 through 32, and then we're going to pray and we're going to get into this morning. So I'm reading out of the New Living Translation today. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, to illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant.' So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son.' But his father said to the servants, 'Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for it with a feast for the sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we've been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and is now returned to life. He was lost, now he is found.' So the party began. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house, and he asked one of the servants what was going on. 'Your brother is back,' he was told, 'and your father has killed the fatted calf. We are celebrating because of his safe return.' The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, 'All these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to do. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fatted calf.' His father said to him, 'Look, dear son, you've always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found.'" Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we come to you right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for the power of the Word of God. I thank you, Father, that you've chosen the foolishness of preaching to bless people and to change people's lives and to bring salvation. So Lord, I pray today that as we talk about this parable, Father, I pray that we would be able to see the good Father. I pray that we would be able to see the Father that loves us and the Father that has our best interests at heart. And God, I pray for each and every one of us today, God. Many of us grew up without a father, or we grew up with a father that mistreated us, or we grew up with a different mindset of what fatherhood is. And Father, I pray today that like my wife shared in the earlier, Father, we can have a great heavenly Father no matter what our father was to us in the natural, Father. Amen. So like I said earlier, when we look at this, Jesus didn't name this the parable of the prodigal son. That was a name given to it after it was written down. And I want you to understand, as we look at this parable today, there are three people of interest or three points of view that we can look at in this parable. How many of you noticed that when we read that? So we can look at it from the point of view of the prodigal, who was from the point of view of the father. And how many of you know that no matter what happens in your life, the older you get, your point of view begins to change? Have you ever noticed that? It seems like the things that your father may have done when you were younger that you didn't understand, as you get older, you begin to understand things in a different way. If you were looking at things from a child's point of view, you're not going to understand things from a father's point of view. Amen? And so we can pick up that. So the point of view of the younger son or the prodigal, prodigal, what was his point of view? It was selfish. He basically told his dad, listen, I want my inheritance now. I don't want to wait for you to die, which was the custom after the father died. His inheritance was divided among the sons, with the larger part being given to the older son. And he basically disrespected his dad and said, listen, I don't want to wait for you to die. Go ahead and give me what's mine now so I can get out of here. Right? He was living for the moment with no time to waste. And I don't know about you, but I can relate to that as a young kid. I can relate to that as a young man growing up. I had that same kind of mentality and mindset. And he wasted his inheritance. He ruined his life. And finally, he hits rock bottom in the pig pen, doesn't he? And in that place, he comes back to himself and he remembers the father. He remembers the goodness of his dad. And he turns around and he leaves that place and he comes back to the father and he's accepted as a son and blessed. And then he loves his father even more than ever before, because now he understands the father's love is unconditional. It doesn't have anything to do with what he does. It has to do with the goodness of the father. Amen? Now we also have the point of view of the older brother of the prodigal. And I want you to think, some of us are thinking from that point of view today. He had a younger brother that basically disrespected his dad and wasted his inheritance. And then all of a sudden, this guy comes back after doing all those things, after embarrassing his family, after dragging his family name through the mud, and dad is over here and going to take him right back. And the older brother is sitting there looking at him like, how in the world can you even do this? I'm not going into this party. I'm not coming into this. I don't agree with this. I'm not happy about this. And we can see this older brother's point of view. He despises his brother for leaving his family and tarnishing their name. And he even gets angry with his dad for bringing back Junior and having a party. And there are some people today that get upset with God because he's a good father and because he doesn't act like you and I would act and because he is so forgiving and so kind and so merciful. Now, I want to encourage you today, if you're looking today from that perspective, you need to change your perspective and begin to see things from the father's point of view today. Amen? And now I want to do is I want to look at the point of wrong publicly by his son. This is not a good son. This is not a son that has treated him well. This is not a son that's respected him. This is not a son who has lived right by him. This is a son who's disrespected him. And this is the way the good father reacts to that and treats. And so what I want to do today is, as we look at the good father and we look at this parable from the father's perspective, what I want to do is I want to talk to fathers. And if you're a father today, you can look at this example from the good father and you can understand these are some principles that you can adapt and adopt into your life if you want to be a good father. Many people didn't have a good father growing up. Many people had a father that was not kind, that was not any of these things. And many times we will say, God, I can't do this because I didn't have that. And you can get grace today. If you're a child of God, you have a father that you can look to and you can get great example from of how to be a father. Amen. Absolutely will. Because if you're here today and you're not a father, you may be thinking, well, this message is not going to apply to me. It absolutely will, because what I want you to see out of this is that the father in this parable is actually our heavenly father. And you can understand how much he loves you and how much he cares for you by the way we are going to look at this. So let's go ahead. I'm going to give you about 6 or 7 things that we can see out of this parable today about what a good father is. Verse 12 tells us the first thing: a good father gives to his kids. A good father gives to his kids. What did he do when the son asked him for the inheritance? He didn't say, boy, wait your turn. Boy, wait and let me die. He said, you know what? I'm going to give to you. I'm going to give to you. What does the Bible tell us about God? It says, for God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Aren't you thankful today that we have a heavenly father that does not give us things based off of what we deserve, but he gives us things based off of his goodness? Think about that today. What a great thing that is. And so if you're a dad here today, you can take note of that and you can be like your heavenly father and you can be a dad that is a giving father to your kids. The Bible tells us that every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. And so today, anything that's good in your life, anything that's perfect in your life, you can trace it back to the Father of lights that gave that to you. Amen? Maybe your earthly father wasn't a good gift giver, but your heavenly father certainly is. And I don't know about you, but I've received so many great things from him. I've received salvation from him. I've received peace from him. I've received joy from him. I've received all these things from him. And he's a great example of what we can expect from our good and heavenly Father. Amen? And if you're a father today, learn from your Heavenly Father and be a good to give things to your kids. You can give your time to your kids. I'm going to tell you right now, kids love it when you give your time to them. They love it when you give your attention to them. When you take time with them and you teach them how to do things and you share with them and you give them your affection and your love, kids love that. And that's something that, as a father, we can do that. And that's something right now from your Heavenly Father. God wants to give you time. He wants to give you attention. And as a matter of fact, He's the only person that you don't have to make an appointment with. You can talk to Him anytime you want. Have you ever noticed that before? There may be people that you want to talk to that you have to wait for 2 or 3 weeks to get on their schedule to be able to get an appointment with. But the good news today is that your loving Heavenly Father, you don't even have to make an appointment with Him. All you have to do is just show up and call His name. Isn't that an amazing thing today? That's how good He is to us. Verse 20, what does it show us? Verse 20 shows us that a good father is always looking for his kids. He's always looking out for his kids. I want you to notice that. It says that when the son was a long way off, the father saw him coming. And I want you to think about that. What does that mean? That means that every single day, the father was thinking about his son and he was looking for him. He was thinking about him. He wasn't angry with him. He was thinking about him and he was looking for him to come. And so no matter what your kids do or how they treat you, Father, they're still yours. Amen? I can tell you right now, one of the hardest things for a dad is when he's disrespected to not show that and not feel that. I remember years ago, my son, when he was little, he was probably about 5 or 6 years old, and I had planned this day out with him. I mean, and I had this thing all planned out, and we were going to do all this fun stuff, and I was so excited. And then all of a sudden, one of his friends invited him to spend the night, and he left me like a loser. I'm telling you, dropped me like anything and went off and spent the night with his kid. And Crystal was gone at the time. And I was thinking to myself, you know, he asked me, Dad, can I go? And I thought, yeah, you can go. And the whole time I'm thinking, don't go. I had all this stuff planned. And I remember, I'm not even kidding with you, I got down on the floor and I was actually crying. I was like, God, I was feeling sorry for myself. And I was like, God, I had this whole day planned out, had all this stuff that I wanted to do with him. And there he goes and leaves me. And you know what the Lord said? How do you think I feel when you do that to me? And boy, that hit me so hard, I thought, wow. I was like, you want to spend time with me like I want to spend time with my son. Oh my gosh. And I got a realization of how good God is and how much he loves me and how much he loves his kids. And I want to just tell you, he's always looking for us, even when we don't do the right things. Now, I want to encourage you, don't abandon your kids when they do wrong, but look out for them. What did this son do? He disrespected his father. He disrespected his mother. He disrespected everybody, and he took off and left. And the father didn't abandon him. The father did ran out to meet him. And I want to tell you today, our Heavenly Father is always looking out for us. There are people in this room today, and you may feel like, God, I've done you wrong in this area. I've done that. And I want to tell you today, God is so pleased and happy that you're here in his house today. He's so glad that you came today to hear the word of God. He's so glad that you have enough a love for him that you would come. He's not angry. Even when we do wrong, he's watching out for us and he's waiting for us. And we can know that about our Father. Another thing that we can learn out of verse 20 is it says he was full of love and compassion. Now I want to tell you, a good father is full of love and compassion. What is compassion? When we think about compassion is love that's moved to action. See, many times we, especially as men, we think just because we love people, we don't have to say anything and we don't have to do anything. You know I love you. You ever heard somebody say, man, you know I love you. Compassion, what do I have to do to prove that? But compassion is actually love that's moved to action. Compassion has to move. It has to do something for your children that it loves. Amen? Now, I want to encourage you, fathers, let your love for your children move you to action. Let it move you to action. If you're a father here today and you have love for your kids, then let that love move you to action. And if you're a person today that doesn't have an earthly father, or maybe your earthly father, you're in the same situation as my wife, that your dad has passed away or your dad's not in your life anymore, remember that you have a heavenly father that loves you and desires to have interaction with you today. Amen? The Bible says that he's a father to the fatherless. What an amazing thing that is when you think about it. He sets the solitary in families, the Bible says. So nobody has to be alone and nobody has to be without a father or an example of a father. He's full of love and compassion. And his compassion, what did it cause him to do? It caused him to run to his son. His compassion caused him to run to his son. Now, I want you to understand this. When the son was walking back towards the father saw him a long way off, and the father didn't wait for the son to get there. The moment he saw the son in the distance, his love for his son and his compassion for his son caused him to begin to move towards his son. And I want to tell you today that there may be situations in your life where you have issues with your father. You have different things that are going on. And I want to encourage you to do what you can do as a child to make that right. Amen? And if and give your father that opportunity. And I want to tell you today that God is here and he sees us when from a long way off. When we're hurting and when we're broken and we turn to come back to him, what begins to happen is God begins to move towards us in a quick way. Amen? The Father runs to us when we return to him from the pig pen. It's an amazing thing when you begin to think about how that works. The things, and the moment that he got up and began to return to his father, the father left what he was doing and ran to the son. I don't know what pig pen you may have found yourself in, but don't think you have to clean yourself up before you can come back to the father. If you notice in that, it doesn't say the prodigal son got up and took a shower and put on clean clothes unless we have this taken care of or unless we have that taken care of. And a lot of times we feel like that because our earthly fathers may have put some things on us that made us feel that way, right? Hey, don't even come back in here until you do this or until you do that or this or whatever. And what we understand from this parable as you begin to look at it is you can see you don't have to clean yourself back up to come to the Father. He's a loving Father, and guess what he'll do? If you come back to him, he'll take you and clean you up. Amen? And we can learn from that as fathers as well. We can be men that no matter what our children do, we can demonstrate the power of forgiveness and the power of love and the power of compassion, and that will change somebody's life, I'm telling you. For the better. Another thing we can see out of verse 20 is a good father goes to his children when they come to their senses. And what do I mean by that? A good father knows how to wait on his kids until they have come to their senses. Now I want you to understand that the good father, what did he do? He didn't go to his son when he was still in the pig pen, did he? And that's one of the differences between moms and dads. I'm just going to tell you right now, because many times mom is going to try to get him out of the pig pen. Because that love and compassion that moms have, they're like, no, no, baby, let me come in there and get you out of the pig pen and clean you up. And meanwhile, Junior don't want to come out of the pig pen. So he's going to come out for a little while. And as soon as mama turns her back, he's going to go right back in there and get all nasty again. And when you see this, what happens is God waits until he comes to the end of himself. God waits until he says, you know what? I have hit rock bottom. I have come to the place in here where I'm looking around and I realize, what in the world am I doing? And a good father knows how to wait and allow that bottom to happen, to allow that thing to come to an end, allow that thing to come to their senses. He doesn't try to rescue them before they're ready. And I want to just encourage you, sometimes as parents, especially as mothers and fathers, we want to try to stop our kids from making decisions that are not going to be good for them. But do you know what's really going to help them? Is as they get older, I'm not talking about when they're little now, because when they're little, you're their conscience and you're the one that teaches them all those things. But as they grow older, one of the hardest things as a father for me was to allow my kids to make decisions that I knew were wrong decisions and go ahead and feel the consequences of those decisions. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That's a difficult thing as a father to do or as a mother to do, is to stand back and say, listen, don't do this. I'm counseling you not to do this, but if you do it, I'm going to be here and I'm going to love you. And what a good father does is even when they go against what he says, he's still there to love them and pick them back up and move them forward. Think about how many times God has done that with you. Think about how many times God has sent people to you and said, hey, don't go that way. Don't do this thing. And you went ahead and did it anyway. And you found yourself in the pig pen. And then all of a sudden you got back up and you came back to God. How many times has God ever said, I told you so. I told you that. God doesn't do that. We do that, but God doesn't do that. He demonstrates to us what a good father does. A good father goes to his children when they come to their senses. The Bible tells us this, if you draw near to God, God will draw near to you. And so what you'll find out is in this parable, when you look at that, the son, the moment the son realized his mistake and got up and started in the direction of the father ran to him. The Bible tells us in the New Testament as well that when we draw near to God, God draws near to us. Many people today feel like God is a father that's a long way away. And if you feel that way today, let me encourage you and give you a good word today. All you have to do is draw near to God today and He'll draw near to you. If you're feeling like God is a long way away, if you're feeling like you're not sensing the presence of God, if you're feeling like God is not near you, all you have to do is draw near to God in your heart, draw near to God in your spirit, begin to seek Him, begin to ask Him to come, and He will come, and He shows us what it means to be a good father. Another thing in verse 20 that we can see is a good father shows his affection for his children. A good father shows his affection for his children. Now, I know this is a tough one for a lot of dads because we're tough, right? Dad can't be showing a whole lot of affection. Some of you grew up with dads that didn't show any affection. Some of us grew up with dads that showed a lot of affection. Some of us didn't grow up with a dad, and so we don't even know what that feels like to have affection from a dad. And maybe you didn't receive that affection growing up for your father, but what I want to tell you, if you're a dad today, don't let that stop you from giving affection to your children. Amen? That doesn't have to stop you from being a dad that's going to show affection to your kids. One of the things that I've learned as a dad growing up and seeing my kids is all of them receive affection in different ways. Some of them receive affection by spending time with them. Others receive affection by talking with them or taking them places and things like that. And so I just want to encourage you as a dad today, spend some time looking at your kids and studying them and finding out each of them are going to be different. How many of you have realized that by now? If you're a mom or a dad, or you understand that it would be great if there was a book that explained parenting and like every kid was exactly the same, but that's not how it goes. And what's crazy is you have one kid and you think you have it figured out. Then you have another kid and it's completely different. Then you have another one and they're completely different. And so the good news is, as a dad, is you're going to have time to look at your kids and be able to show love and compassion to each and every one of them and affection in a different way. Let me ask you this, or think about this. When you receive affection from your heavenly Father, you can give it to your children. And I just want to tell you today, you may not have received that growing up, but I'm telling you today, God is compassionate. He shows His affection. His presence can be felt and be known today. And I want to tell you, He wants to give that to you. As you draw near to God, you're going to feel His affection. You're going to feel His love. And then you can turn around and give what you've received to your kids. Amen? Verse 21, this is a really good one right here. What does verse 21 show us? A good father doesn't reject his kids even when they blow it big time. Aren't you happy for that? Have you ever, as a kid, blown it big time? I'm telling you, growing up, I blew it big time a whole lot of times. I shared one funny story with you about my barn experience, but that was like a funny one. I blew it many times. I treated my mom and dad in bad ways so many times, and thank God, at the end of the day, they still love me. And what I understand is how many times have we blown it with our Heavenly Father? How many times have we received good things from Him and then walked away from Him and done just what this prodigal son has done? And what we see in this is a good father doesn't reject his kids even when they blow it big time. As a matter of fact, a good father keeps giving to his kids even when they don't deserve it. He gives to his kids even when they don't deserve it. I want you to look at this. It says that when the father said, listen, give them the finest robe in the house. I want you to think about this for a minute. Whose robe do you think was the finest robe in the house? The father's robe was the finest robe in the house. And the son didn't have anything left in the house because the father had already given him his whole inheritance. So he had wasted everything that he had. He had drug his family's name through the mud, literally. He had disrespected everybody. And when he came back, this is what the father did. He didn't reject his son when they blow it big time. He said, give him the finest robe in the house. And that's so important for us today to understand, because that robe was the father's robe. And what do we know about that? The Bible says that we are clothed in righteousness, and it's not a righteousness that's our own. It's a righteousness that belongs to our older brother, Jesus Christ. Amen? So you can be happy and thankful today that you have a robe that God has given you if you've come back to Him, and that robe is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's not your robe. Where your robe is the same place mine is. The Bible says our righteousness is like filthy rags. And we had to get rid of that in order to receive that robe that God has for us, that righteousness that comes only in Christ Jesus. And I want you to think about this. One of the things that I love, my kids love my shirts for some reason. I don't know why it is. But when I get rid of a t-shirt, they won't let me throw a t-shirt away. They get it and they wear it to sleep at night. My kids used to fight over my shirts, and I used to think, what are they doing? It's just an old raggedy t-shirt. I'm getting ready to throw this thing away. But to them, it wasn't a raggedy t-shirt. To them, it was mine. It belonged to me, and because they loved me, they wanted that. And my daughters still sleep in t-shirts that are mine a lot of times because that's just what they like. And when I think about that, I think about how much God loves us, and I think about how he wants to give us that righteousness that can only be found in Jesus Christ. And today, if you're righteous, it's not of your own works, but it's of Jesus Christ and his righteousness that's been given to you after you've returned from the pig pen and come back to your heavenly Father. Amen? It's an amazing thing. Then what's the next thing that he gave him? He didn't just give him his own robe, but he gave him a ring for his finger. Whose ring was that? Whose ring do you think that was? It was the Father's ring. And do you know what that ring symbolized, what that ring showed? It showed authority. In other words, the Father was saying to his son, remember what the son said? He said, listen, when he was in the pig pen, he said, listen, even if I can come back and just be a servant in my Father's house, and that's what he came back and told his dad, and his dad put a ring on his finger signifying that you're not just a servant, you're my son. Even though you did those things, and even though you did wrong, even though you drug our name through the mud, you're going to be my son, and everybody's going to know it, because when they look at your hand, they're going to see my authority on your hand. They're going to see my ring on your hand. And I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful today that the Father gave us his authority. The Bible says that he gave us authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. And today, if you have that power, it didn't come from your righteousness, it didn't come from your right living, but it came from your loving heavenly Father that put that on your finger after you came back from him. Amen? And we can be thankful that we have a Father that does those things. And the next thing is, what did he give him? He gave him sandals for his feet. Whose sandals were those? His Father's. How many of you guys used to put your dad's shoes on when you were little? All my kids used to do that. I would come home from work when I worked construction, and they would put my boots on and just kind of like tramp around in the house and fall over and do all those things. I remember when I was a kid, I grew up on a farm, and one of my favorite memories as a kid is after my dad would plow a field and he would walk through the field as a little boy, I used to try to walk in his footsteps. And I'd be stretching, you know, way out there trying to walk in my dad's footsteps. And so when we see this, he gave him sandals for his feet. You know what that tells me? Nothing is unnoticed by your heavenly Father. He notices everything about you. How many of you have ever noticed, like, you see times where people will have a weird pair of shoes on and it doesn't go with their outfit and you didn't even notice it for a long time, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh man, I didn't even notice that. And when you what you can see from this is that God notices even the smallest details. When God saw him, when the Heavenly Father saw him coming, he noticed that he needed a robe, he needed some authority in that ring, and he needed some sandals for his feet, and he didn't lack anything that he had when he left. And I want to just encourage you with that. As a father, what does that show us? Don't reject our kids even when they blow it big time. Let's give them the things that God has already given us. Amen. I can give them. Some of the things as a father that I've received that I can give my kids: forgiveness. I can give them mercy. I can give them love. Actually give them to receive those things from my Father. I don't have to keep them for myself, but I can actually give them to my kids as well. Amen? Verse 23, this is the last one. Verse 23, a good father knows how to celebrate a child's return and not make them feel bad about it. I don't know about you, but it's not even any fun if you do something and people make you feel bad about it. You ever had that happen? I'm glad my mom or dad, either one, didn't do that to me. And I have done that to my kids before, and then I repented and had to go back and tell them, man, I'm sorry. You know what I'm talking about is you can have people do something kind and something nice, and then they come back, and then you're going to let them know, you know, hey, I appreciate that, but don't forget about this. Don't forget about how you acted. That's not what this father did at all, did he? No, he didn't do any of that. He threw a party. He had a celebration. Never once did the father of the prodigal say, I told you so. Never once did he say, you know, boy, I told you before you left, you shouldn't have went. I told you not to do this. I told you not. Didn't I tell you if you did that, this is what was going to happen? Aren't we all tempted to do that when people do things and we tell them not to do? I don't know about you, but fathers, let me encourage you. If you're doing that to your kids, let me encourage you. Ask God to forgive you and help you not do that, because many times we do the same things that happen to us even though we don't like those things. Have you ever found that out? I know the older I get, the more grace my dad gets for me. Because when I was a kid, I was seeing things from a child's point of view. And then as soon as you have kids and you become a father and they get up to where they're barely even walking, you start realizing, man, thank God that they didn't kill me when I was little. Thank God that how did you even put up with me? I used to call my mom and dad and say, thank you, God, so much for not killing me. You know, wow, thank you. Thank you for loving me. Look at the father of the prodigal. He was so happy that the prodigal had returned. What can we learn from this? When your kids mess up and make a mistake, be like your heavenly father and be there to celebrate when they come to their senses. Think about that for a minute. How amazing will that be for a child and even a grown adult when you're a dad and your kid does something you tell them not to do and they absolutely blow it and they absolutely do something dumb. When you're that kid, what do you want? You want that love and forgiveness, right? You don't want them to bring that up. And imagine how you can give that to your son or daughter. Imagine the gift that you can give them of just being compassionate and being like your heavenly father and celebrating with them. Man, you finally did it. You finally made it. Praise God. I'm not going to hold all these things over your head from the past. And I want to ask you this. Aren't you glad today that you have a heavenly father who's always there to pick you up and celebrate you when you return to him? I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful today that I have a heavenly father like that. So I want to ask you a few questions today as we get ready to close. Are you a prodigal son or daughter today? Are you a person that you realize you've ran away from your father? You've gone the wrong way? You've strayed out and you're in some things now that you wish that you were not in, and you're even thinking to yourself, man, I wish I could get out of this. I wish I could turn from this, but I'm embarrassed. I'm afraid. There's so many things that go through our mind when we do things that are wrong. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And we worry about the shame and the guilt. I want you to look at this father in the parable, because this is a picture of what a good father does. This is a picture of our Heavenly Father, and what you see in this is that if you're a prodigal son or a daughter and you come back to the Father, He's not going to throw you out. He's not going to be rude or mean to you. He's not going to treat you unkind. He's going to love you, and He's going to show you His grace. He's going to show you His mercy. He's going to give you what you don't have, and He's going to celebrate your return today. So I want to encourage you today, if you're a prodigal and you need to come home, before we leave this place today, we want to pray for you, and we want to give you an opportunity to come back from what you've been in and return to the Father today. Amen. And do you know what happens when we do that? The Bible says in Luke chapter 15, a little bit further down, it says that when one person repents of their sin and turns from that pig pen lifestyle and comes back to God, that all of heaven rejoices. The angels are clapping and dancing because one son or daughter that was lost has now been found. And that's what God wants, and that's what His desire is for each and every one of us to receive Him today. So if that's you today, before we leave, I want to give you an opportunity to pray and receive Him and to come back to Him. Amen? The next person I want to talk to, maybe, are you the brother who needs to forgive today? Are you the brother that needs to forgive today? Maybe you're holding things against your sibling or your father for the way you feel you were treated in relation to them. I'm going to tell you right now, many people are crippled emotionally. They're crippled in their health. They're crippled in all kinds of ways because they were wronged as a child by their father or by their siblings, and they're still holding on to those things. Now, I want to tell you today what an amazing thing is that if that's you, you can drop that today. You can release that today and find healing and forgiveness from a loving God. Many people say, man, I can't let that go. I can't do it. I can't release that. And I want to encourage you today, look at this parable and understand what's going on here. What did the father, you're mad at that had stayed with him all that time? He's like, you're mad about a ring, you're mad about a robe, and you're mad about sandals, and you're mad about a steak dinner. You're mad about the fatted calf. He said, listen, son, everything I have is yours. Everything I have is yours. But we had to be happy today because the brother that you had that was lost, he's now found. In other words, life is not all about you, but it's about other people being found as well. So I want to encourage you today, if you're looking at your life and you're wounded from things that have happened in the past, what you can do today is release forgiveness to your father, release forgiveness to your siblings, release forgiveness to whoever it is that you need. And why do you do that? Because God wants to bless you and he wants to honor you and raise you up and get that stuff off of your life in Jesus' name. Amen. And then if you're a father today, you can take these principles and look to your heavenly father to guide you into becoming a better father today. Amen. You can learn from these principles. And I want to close with this verse right here in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation of the Bible. It says, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on earth. Now let me just say something about those verses. Notice that it doesn't say, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do if they're good and kind to you. If they're always right. How many of you had parents that if you're things... Go ahead and show me your hand. Your mom and dad did wrong things. You had a dad that did wrong things. If you're a parent, guess what? Your kids can say the same exact thing about you, right? And so honor is something that is, we talked about this not very long ago, and we talked about the commands of Jesus are not suggestions. They're commands to those who follow him, correct? And so look at this when he says, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. Obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. Not because they were kind, not because they did right, but because you belong to the Lord, and this is what the Lord is telling you to do. Honor them. And so you may be saying, Pastor, how in the world can I honor my dad because he was not an honorable person? He did things that were not honorable. Here's how you can honor your dad, even if he did things that were not honorable, because you can do that as unto the Lord. Does that make sense? You can do that because you can give glory to God and you can honor God. So the Bible tells us honor them. Honor your father and mother, not because they were always right, but because God comes to your earthly father. And you honor your heavenly father by obeying his command to honor your earthly father. And I want you to think about that today. All of us, and I'm sure that parents, there's not a person here today that doesn't have some hurt from their parents. And I'm sure that my kids are the same as well. But the beautiful thing about the Christian faith and the beautiful thing about what we've looked at today is that our Heavenly Father demonstrates to us what a perfect and good and loving Father does. And he gives us the ability to forgive others and stop that cycle from continuing on in our lives. Amen? So why don't we just go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we come to you right now and we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love and mercy. God, I just thank you today for every person that is in this place. Lord, I thank you for those who can relate to the prodigal son, to those who have turned away, Father, and have done things that are not pleasing in your eyes, and Lord, that have walked away from you and have wasted the things that you've given them, Father. I pray today that they would have an encounter with you just like this son in the parable did, Father. I pray that they would come to themselves today, that they would rise up from that and that they would repent and they would turn from those things and that they would come to you, Father, that they would run to you, Father God, for your love and for your mercy and for your forgiveness. Lord, I pray today as well for those who may be holding unforgiveness towards their siblings or towards their father. Lord, I pray today that you would help them to see, God, that that's only going to hurt them. It's not going to hurt you. It's not going to hurt anybody else. Lord, I pray today that your grace would be made available in this place to forgive others because you've forgiven us. God, we thank you for your love. And Father, I pray for the dads that are here today. God, I pray that, Lord, even though we make mistakes, God, I thank you that you are a perfect heavenly Father. And I thank you that you give us great examples. And so, Father, I pray today that you would forgive us from where we've fallen short as fathers. And Lord, as we forgive our fathers at where they fell short. And Father, we just give you praise. We give you thanks for everything that you're doing in our lives. And God, we love you today and we give you thanks for it in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. Well, we've got a few announcements that we want to share with you today as we get ready. If you're going to be giving tithes and offerings, if you need an envelope, if you'll raise your hand, Brian will come by and he'll get an envelope for you. We want to remind you that there's a bunch of different ways that you can give here. You can give online. Many of us, that's how we give online. You can also give with a check. You can give using our envelopes as well. And we receive that on the way out. Your tithes and offering in the basket on the way out. And so we've got as you're preparing your tithes and offerings, we've got a few announcements that we want to share. I want to ask you, you took one of our piggy banks for Peru, for the kids in Peru. Hopefully you got one of those. And we want to ask you, if you can do us a favor. And I don't know if you've noticed that machine at Walmart where you can actually like take and dump coins in and it'll give you cash. If you can go and do that with your piggy bank and bring that in by July the 7th, that's the first Sunday in July, that'll give us time to get everything put together before we go on our trip July the 16th. And we're going to be there's going to be five of us going down to Peru. We're going to be in Iquitos. We ask you that you would pray for us. We're going to be ministering in the jungle. We're going to be ministering to some street kids in Iquitos with Rodolfo and Pastor Felix that was here a few weeks ago. And so we just ask you that you would keep us lifted up in prayer and ask God to make sure our luggage gets there and that we're all healthy, because sometimes when you travel to places like that, you can pick up different bugs and things like that. So we want to ask you that you would pray for us and just pray that God would really bless this time that we have in the jungle. We're going to be doing something new. We're going to be working with three churches, and we're going to be teaching them about evangelism, personal evangelism, and those the villages there on the Amazon. Those three churches are going out to some of the villages in the area that don't have churches, and they're inviting those villages to put their best soccer team together and come and have a soccer tournament in their village on that day. So what we're going to do is we're going to do training for evangelism in the morning. We're going to have a big soccer tournament that day with all kinds of people that don't know Jesus. And then at the end, we're going to have a real quick evangelistic meeting where we're going to preach the gospel for about 20 or 30 minutes. And then we're going to prepare a big meal for everybody. And all of the people that came to the evangelism training, they're going to sit with people that they don't know from the other tribes and share how Jesus changed their there and invite everybody to come back. So God has given us that strategy, so we want to ask you to be praying that lots of people that don't know Jesus are going to come to know him, and the church is going to be strengthened there. Amen? Amen. So we also want to let you know, for those of you that are interested in getting baptized, next Sunday we're going to be having a baptism after the service, and so we want to encourage you. We want to let you know that that's going to be happening next Sunday, and what we want to tell you is if you're planning on being baptized, you're going to need to be here this Wednesday night, and we're going to have a quick baptism class right after our Wednesday night service. And so how many people in here do we have that are interested in getting baptized next Sunday? I know we've got some people. Were you guys... You guys were going to be here next Sunday for the baptism? Okay. Anybody else? Okay. I just want to make sure. Okay, Christine. So we want to make sure that you guys are here Wednesday night, and we're going to be having that right after the service. Amen? And we also want to let you guys, the month of July, have the slide for that, but we're going to be in the month of July on Wednesday nights. We're going to be doing a series, Heard of Him Before, Blessed. And it's going to be a video teaching series from Pastor Robert Morris. I don't know if you've heard of him before, but it's an amazing series. And we're going to be doing that on Wednesday nights in July. So you're not going to want to miss that. We're going to be here every Wednesday night in July at 7 p.m. We're going to be doing the Beyond Blessed series. And then we're also in July going to be starting our 21 days of prayer and fasting on July the 7th through the 21st. And so we're going to ask everybody, if you would, to just be praying with us and fasting with us through the month of July. We're going to be doing 21 days. And how many of you know, man, if you're having a rough time and you're having a hard time focusing on spiritual things, one of the greatest things you can do is take some time to really fast and pray. And we love to do that as a church. And we normally do that on every January. And so what we want to do is we're going to do that as well in July this year as well. And some of you are looking at me like, Pastor, I am not going without food for 21 days. What are you talking about? And we're not talking about doing a whole fast for 21 days. You can fast whatever you want to. A lot of times my family does the Daniel fast. There's a lot of different ways that you can fast. And so in July, we're going to be talking more about that. And so we just want to let you know that that's coming up. And we also want to tell you as well that our back-to-school bash in August is coming up. So you may have noticed the table on the way in with school supplies. And I want to encourage you, if you can, if you want to donate to that, you can bring in any kind of school supplies. The list is out on the sign there, letting you know we're going to have a big time here. And we're actually going to rent the center next door, because last year I think we had about 400 kids that we gave backpacks to. And it was just an amazing time. We were able to really bless a lot of people. We have Ray and Janet Clark from Third Day Power that's going to be here breaking stuff and sharing Jesus. It's going to be an amazing time. And so if you were here last year and saw that, you know that they take today and really just celebrate your dad. Amen. Now, I want to encourage you, you know, you may be a person today that your dad's not close and you can write a letter to him. You may be a person today that your dad has passed away, and you may say, man, how can I honor my dad if he's passed away? And I've been thinking about this. You know, one of the ways that you can honor somebody, even if they're not here, is by sharing some good things about them. Nothing else to be thankful for. You can be thankful that you're alive and your dad had a part in bringing you into the world. And one of the things that you can do is you can just share with your kids, you can share with somebody else, and just tell them, you know, one good story, and just remember and honor your dad in that way. If your dad's here, why don't you call him today and tell him something good that he did? I know a lot of times we think about all the bad things, but he did some good things, right? And so you can remember that. And another thing you can do today is be thankful that you have a heavenly Father that always does good and always blesses us and always treats us good. Amen? So if you want to go ahead and stand to your feet, we're going to go ahead and pray.